Good evening and welcome to Catch the Flavor Youth Radio here in Radio Regent. I'm your host, Beverly Fajardo. Valentine's Day, single or taken, it is a celebration of love. Whether you're with your significant other or just taking yourself out for Valentine's Day, it's all about love, self-love, just plain L-O-V-E. Today we have relationship expert here to celebrate Valentine's Day. Can you tell us a little bit about your professional background?
Sure. Thank you for having me on the show. My background is in gender-based violence prevention. I also do a lot of community organizing in LGBTQ relationships, and I do a lot of diversity and inclusion work at a university, at Wilfrid Laurier University.
What are the pros and cons of a healthy relationship versus an unhealthy relationship?
I don't know if there's so many cons to a healthy relationship. I think that it's still a challenge. It's still hard. We still got to work at it. It can be a little bit scary for sure, because you have to love someone and hope that they love you back, or care for someone and hope that they care for you. And then we got to hope that they'll also stay. Yeah. It's another level.
Yeah.
When it comes to healthy relationships, the pros are definitely that you feel supported and affirmed in those relationships. You get a sense of belonging. You know, even when you don't feel super good about yourself, you've still got a relationship that's telling you, no, you're great. Yeah. You are amazing. Whereas with unhealthy relationships, you know, like plants, we wilt. Yeah. We don't grow anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't become our best selves. Yeah.
Right. How do you know when it's a healthy relationship compared to a toxic, unhealthy relationship?
It's really important to have some check-ins with yourself. Mm-hmm. You really got to ask yourself, and I think we all do in relationships, mm-hmm. does this feel good for me? Does this feel good for my heart? Does it feel good for my body and my spirit? Because sometimes with unhealthy relationships, we'll notice that we start to get really tired. Mm-hmm. We'll feel really, really tired. And it's because of the emotional energy we put into those relationships. Mm-hmm. We start to feel super exhausted, like we can't be ourselves. We want to communicate things, but we feel scared, or we feel like we can't tell the person that actually this isn't for us. So those are a lot of the signs when it comes to the more unhealthy relationships. When it comes to the healthy relationships, though, that feels like joy a lot of the times. We feel like we could be ourselves, our full selves. And while there might be moments that are hard for us, we can still communicate that in those relationships and say, hey, this doesn't feel good. Let's talk about it. Yeah.
What are signs of a healthy relationship and an unhealthy relationship?
I'll give you the signs of the healthy relationship, and the unhealthy will be totally the opposite of these. In a healthy relationship, we get to be our total selves, whatever that is, all of it. There's a lot of trust there. There's forgiveness. We might make mistakes. We might do something wrong. We'll be forgiven for those things. There are boundaries. I get to have my space. You get to have your space. And there is joy. There is happiness. There is positives as well.
Okay, where can people find help when they are involved in an unhealthy relationship?
One of the really important things when we're in relationships to set up some sort of safety or some sort of network for ourselves. It's like a community that we build. We need to make sure, for example, that we've got maybe some friends that we could talk to, an adult in our lives. Maybe if we don't have that, there are also support systems in place and services we could go to. For example, Skylark, we could go to, if we're LGBTQ identified, we could go over to the 519 groups or SOY groups. So there's definitely community services that we could go to talk about it. Yeah.
Have you experienced a good or bad relationship?
100%. I don't think anybody gets out of this world without having had both of those experiences and learn and grown for those. I will say I've had some not so great relationships with family members, for example, because I am queer, I'm racialized, I'm from a family that's maybe a little bit more conservative. And what that looked like for me was that I couldn't be all of me. I had to leave being queer at the door every time I walk through. It's like emptying out your pockets, right? You got to like empty out the queer and hope nobody sees it. Mm-hmm. What I learned from those moments, though, is that if you can't be all of you, it's not a healthy relationship. Yeah. It's not. Yeah.
Mm. What are the effects of a unhealthy relationship versus a healthy relationship?
That's a big one. I will say with the unhealthy relationships, what ends up happening, because it's not so black and white, we end up carrying some of the unhealthy behaviors over. So, for example, if I grow up in a family where nobody communicated what they needed, for example, nobody said, I need this in order to be happy, what ends up happening is that I learn that I shouldn't do that. I learn to be silent. I learn not to say anything. So that's a big piece, is that we start to take that over into our other relationships. Now, with healthy relationships, the effects then are that we get to fix that. We get to heal those parts of ourselves that aren't working, that aren't healthy for us.
How much damage can an unhealthy relationship do to you versus a healthy relationship?
I think that goes back to the question, the really good question you had around the effects, because what ends up happening is that we carry those with us. And especially if we don't feel safe in our relationship, if it's unhealthy and it's unsafe for us emotionally or physically, that can be really traumatic for us. And we can end up feeling really unsafe and not sure if we could trust again. So there's a lot of trust building that then has to happen. A lot of feeling safe and learning what you need to feel safe again. So those definitely have lasting impacts.
For youth or younger generations, what is the best advice you would give them when it comes to a relationship that will keep them happy?
I wish that someone had told me that I get to have needs. I wish that as a youth, someone told me that when you're going out and you're dating and you're entering into even friendships, that you get to, first of all, have needs and tell people, in order to feel supported, I need you to do X, Y, and Z for me. I wish that I knew that I was enough before I was in a relationship. I wish I knew that I didn't need a relationship to feel whole and complete, that I was actually that in myself, and that relationships are there to support that. They're there to affirm that, but they're not there to be that for you.
Yeah. What advice can you give to someone about handling a healthy relationship and an unhealthy relationship?
To listen to yourself. That's a big one. I think that we carry a lot of knowledge in our bodies. We're very intuitive beings. And sometimes we can feel inside ourselves that something doesn't feel right. Something doesn't feel okay. And I'm feeling hurt by someone. And in those moments, I would say to definitely reach out and talk to someone. It's good to get out of your head in those moments, especially someone that you trust. If it's happening in the relationship, something doesn't feel healthy, it might be an unhealthy behavior that someone's doing. If it feels safe, it's great to communicate that to the other person. And if it doesn't feel safe, definitely to reach out to someone else.
For youth exploring dating for the first time, what advice would you give if they are feeling nervous or unsure?
A few pieces of advice around. One is just this, and this is the parent part of me. I think that be sure to tell someone where you're going, especially if you're just starting out. Be sure to let someone know, I'm going here, it's going to be a date, and this is where it is, even if it's a friend. The other piece of what I would say, it goes back to feeling like you are enough. I think as a youth, I might have also felt like, am I pretty enough? Am I thin enough? Am I cool enough? Am I interesting enough? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes, you are absolutely enough. And a big piece of that is reminding yourself that you are. And I remember learning that lesson. I remember having makeup running down my face. I was like sweaty as can be. I thought I was not very attractive. And the person that I was in a relationship with said, "You are so beautiful." And I thought, this is it. This is it. You feel affirmed. And that's what that looks like. So I'd say to feel like you are enough, and also to take your time. Take your time. There's no rush.
For the youth part of LGBT community, what advice would you have them when it comes to exploring relationships and sexuality?
So much. So much that if I could go back, I could tell younger me even. One piece that I'll offer is there are many different ways to have relationships. For some of us, our friendships become families, because for some of us, we lose our families, and that's okay. Our relationships don't always look heteronormative, doesn't always look like it does for other people, and it's totally valid still. You get to carve that out. The other piece I'll say is, especially if you're starting out, one of the things we might experience is a lot of shame that comes up for us. We start feeling embarrassed, especially because we haven't grown up with stories of folks who are LGBTQ and in love. We don't get those. We haven't seen a lot of folks in our lives a lot of the time who identify in that way. So we start to feel like, this isn't normal. I don't feel normal. And I would say if shame comes up, it makes sense that it's coming up. It's valid. And to talk to someone about that so that they can help you unpack that, because you are so valid. You are amazing. You're wonderful. And you get to live out the lives that you want to live. Yeah.
Yeah. What have you learned for relationships, lessons you want to share with us?
There's a few things, and I mentioned them in this, but I'll repeat it. When it comes to relationships, I've learned that for me, because I am queer and I am racialized, a really big piece is that my relationships don't always look like they do in mainstream media. So my friendships do look like literally like they are my family. My relationships look a little bit different, especially in our communities. We have more intimate ways of doing things sometimes. Our pace looks a little bit different. How fast we go or slow we go looks different. And so it was really important for me to say to myself, all of my relationships are valid. They're works of art. I create them. I make them what I want them to be, and that's totally okay. Yeah.
And is there anything else you want to add?
I'd add one more piece, and this goes along with that last question you asked me around what I learned, which is the healthiest relationship I need to have first is always with myself. I need to take care of me first. I need to take myself on dates. I need to have that with myself in order to have that with other people. So that's the last thing that I'll say, is to have a really good, loving, affirmative relationship with yourself first. It is so, so important.
Thank you for coming and being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
So that's all the time we have for this show, talking about relationships in time for Valentine's Day, which starts tomorrow.
Welcome back. So can you tell us about your background as being queer and Muslim? That must have been like a lot. But at least, you know, you're super cute. So
thank you.
That helps. It always helps.
Thank you. I'll take the compliment. I'll always take compliments. It was definitely a difficult one for me. When we're talking about healthy relationships with ourselves, It's hard when you feel like you actually can't be those things. So growing up in a Muslim family meant that we didn't talk about sexuality at all. And I know that there are some Muslim folks that do. There's a queer Muslim mosque downtown. Mm. Wish I had known about that when I was younger.
Right.
But for me, we didn't talk about that stuff. So what that meant growing up is that I was really confused about my feelings for women, for example, and I couldn't explain them. And it meant that I didn't really have someone to talk to and support me through it.
So I think it's really important to talk about that. Like, because of your background, did you ever have an inkling that you liked girls, but you didn't have the vocabulary, or did you always know and you just didn't want to bring it up?
I think I did not feel attraction for a very long time until, and I just told this story actually recently to a group of students. I was in university when I first felt attraction.
Oh.
And it was with somebody who's non-binary in a classroom. I was sitting behind them having a lot of struggles with like body image. They had a tattoo on the back of their arm. I sat right behind them and it said, "You're beautiful." And every day, I know. And every day I saw that.
Attracted by the tattoo.
You know what? Who knows? But that was it. I was drawn into that.
Right.
And from then I was like, okay, you got to make a choice. Either you stay where you are, don't tell anyone, stay alone for the rest of your life, or you live inside your truth, which is that you're queer and that you love this person.
So what was that epiphanal moment for you? You're just like, oh my God, like, I'm different.
It was a moment. It was a combination of things. So I had also fallen into a community of folks who were queer identified. So being around people who so fiercely would be themselves and were family to each other let me know that if I wanted to be myself, my full self, that there was space to do that and I could be super fierce in doing it and have family doing it. And it might not be mine, but it would be family nonetheless.
So you were mentioning the 519 and Soy. So just some background, 519 and Soy are support groups for people who identify as LGBT. Did you actually go to those organizations to just really like help you build up your strength when it comes to being your authentic self?
If only I had been in Toronto at that time. Had I been in Toronto, I would have, yes. I was in, when I was coming out in my phase, I was in Waterloo, Ontario, where it didn't feel like there was very much going on.
Right.
I think Toronto is very blessed to have quite a few services here. So my actual support space was the Women in Trans Center at Wilfrid Laurier. Which was a collection of awesome, awesome people who supported each other. And that's why those spaces are super important.
So did you ever talk to your family? Like, I know that there must be some Muslim youth that might be going through this and don't know how to have that conversation. Have you ever had that conversation?
Yeah, I had this conversation with my first coming out was with my sister. Who it did not go well with. And I think that some of it is preparing and kind of preparing and saying that for some folks it might take a long time. For some folks it might be never. For my sisters, it is never. On the other hand, I have a mom who I was able to have that conversation with. And what that conversation looked like was gathering some resources to help her understand it. Because the reality is for somebody who that wasn't normalized growing up, she's not going to know where to start. She's not going to know the language. She won't even know what queer is. So a big piece was gathering some resources and letting her know who she could talk to if she needed some support understanding it.
So how was that journey for you coming out and being your authentic self? Did you feel fearful? Did you actually get any backlash besides like, talking to your family and stuff?
Shame came out. A lot of shame that I actually didn't quite realize until it was pointed out to me by an ex-partner of mine who said in our relationship, "I feel like you were ashamed." And I looked back on that relationship and I said, wow, all of the times when we were walking outside and I let go of their hand, all of the times when I didn't invite them to things because I was so ashamed of who I was. So it was a very complicated journey of coming to understand that this was my truth, that I was queer, and that I was choosing to live inside that, and that it was actually totally valid to be this and amazing and beautiful to be who I was, which was a huge journey of myself, going through it for myself, and also building a community that would remind me every time I forgot, every time I couldn't remember that I was valuable and wonderful, I had a community that told me, yes, you are.
You know, it's great because I don't think a lot of people actually get these relationship advice when it comes to self-care and stuff, how important it is to translate into your relationships. You were talking about your relationship where you understood that you were carrying the shame. How did you feel? Not only shame for, was it the shame for the relationship or for yourself being having that sexual orientation?
For myself. Yeah.
So how did you reconcile that afterwards? Like, you know, you must have felt kind of like some guilt because your shame carried into the relationship. Did that affect your partner kind of thing? You know, like, how did you feel, like, reconcile those feelings?
Absolutely. At the time when I was told, I felt really, really horrible because I knew what this person was telling me was that you felt shame and that made me feel small. And that made me feel invisible sometimes. So I had to be accountable for that and really, one, apologize, two, validate it and say, yes, absolutely, I can see what's happening here, that that happened. And then three, I needed to do a lot of self-work and reflection to make sure that wasn't continuing in my relationships, that there aren't spaces where that's happening. It's very easy to fall into that and not even notice it. Years later, I'm finding out that that was a thing that happened. It's that easy that it can happen. So I think the big piece is being accountable for sure.
So accountable, yes. But then how do you not feel shame about being ashamed, like shame spiral? Like, how do you learn to forgive yourself? How did you forgive?
That's a really good question. Do we have an hour?
Yeah, 4 minutes. 4 minutes.
I think a really important piece for me when receiving, so this goes across the board for feedback in relationships, is to remember that it's not actually just about you. Like, you need to really, and I needed to remember, I need to center this person who is hurt, and their hurt matters more than my hurt did in this moment. So I need to center that and let them know that I see it and that it's valid. And then secondary to that is me figuring out my stuff around shame. So number one is, this hurt you. You are important to me. And it's very important to remind yourself that it is about this person who's telling you. And then the piece around feeling shame for the shame. Now that's my stuff that I have to work on. That's my stuff that I need to unpack. And I do that with my friends, for example, my community, my family. And when I say family, I mean my friends that I can go to and say, hey, I did this thing. It really hurt someone, but now I need support. Now I need someone to unpack this with me.
So have you been able to have a friendly relationship with that person now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I find that in the LGBTQ communities, it's actually one of the things I noticed early on is it's very normative to have relationships with your ex-partners.
For like friendships?
Yes.
Oh,
friendships.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And that was a new model. Yeah. It was a new model for me. I'd never seen that before. And it was a new way of realizing that relationships could exist on a spectrum. They could evolve. They could be romantic relationships at one point, and then they could be friendships at another point.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's what happened with that one, is that it grew into a friendship years later and after years of my own self-work.
That's the best type of, you know, dynamic, right? Good for you. But last question, any advice for kids going through LGBT experiences, Muslim community, or just like really a tough, adverse community cultures and stuff? What advice would you give for that child?
The advice that I would give is, first of all, I get it. I love you. And I'm so sorry if that is what you are experiencing in this world right now. And I will say that there are communities that will love and affirm and support you, and they exist and they're out there. So if you're struggling and you're having a hard time feeling like your identity is valid, or that you are enough in this world, there are so many communities. There's the 519, there's Soy, there's different ones across from Toronto that you can connect with, to remind yourself, because we all need a little bit of reminding sometimes.
And I lied. I have one more question. Actually, I think this is even more important. How does the kid reconcile if they've been rejected by the community, by their family? How do they navigate? Like, what advice would you give?
They want
their family to be there, but they know that they can't have it. Like, what would you say?
Yeah, that was a big one. And I think it's a big one still right now. One of the pieces that I think about is, for some, not talking about it until you move out is the only option that you have. And so in that way, it's important to stay connected to community services and programs so that you at least have spaces that you're affirmed. The other piece is one of the really beautiful things that came out of the LGBTQ community, and I'm not sure if other communities are doing this as well, but I learned early on that there is chosen family that you can create.
Right.
So some of it is that you're grieving your family. You're mm-hmm. grieving the loss of your family. And then the other piece is that you're actually bringing out a new family, and that exists. And we build that with each other, and we really are family to each other. So I will say, if you are grieving your family right now, it is valid, and you get to go through your process. And there will also be another family there for you, and you get to build it. And it will be people who will support every single part of you.
Great. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's beautiful. I think that's amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For the talk. And I think that's very inspiring, especially for Valentine's Day. Not that it has to be romantic. It's just about, like, sharing love, like Beverly was saying, L-O-V-E, right?
Yes.
So thank you so much. You've been such an amazing guest.